Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon. So we enter the message this morning. I want to take you back just shy of 2,000 years. Just shy of 2,000 years. Tell you a story. An actual account. Then I want to back up another 550 years and talk about a prophecy. Then thirdly, I want to fast forward, not to today, but just to tomorrow, or the very near tomorrow. I'm going to look at three passages of time. The first is in Matthew chapter 21. The disciples have been told by Jesus, instructed to go and get a donkey and its colt tied up. And they've been given the password if anybody says anything. And it's funny because it sounds like an old rabbi mind trick. These aren't the donkeys you're looking for or whatever. But it's just this moment. If anyone asks you, tell them the Lord has need of them and he'll come. Let him go. So they do that and Jesus will ride this donkey into Jerusalem. And the people, it's this moment of, and the crowd goes wild. There's just this excitement and this rejoicing, but not everybody's thrilled. Some people get pretty upset at Jesus entering. We still find that today. Let's go ahead. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 says this. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them, bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, and we're going to look at that. Saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. A very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And the waving of the palm branches and the laying of down, that's here we are, Palm Sunday. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went to the temple of God, drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yeah. I mean, formally it says yes, but that's do you hear? Yeah. Have you never read? It's just, I don't know if he had that attitude, but it's like, I want to. Have you never read? Hello. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. And he left them and went out the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. It was this phrase that we read over, that it might be fulfilled. So here we are, just around 2,000 years ago, this account took place. Back up 550 years, somewhere around 520 to 523 BC, the prophet Zechariah will say this in chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Zechariah reads, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then what we don't have Matthew recording, look at what Zechariah continues to say. This is the expectation of the people. They're quoting this scripture, that it might be fulfilled, Matthew's saying. Here it is. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea. And here Zechariah references King Solomon saying in Psalm 72, his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the rivers to the ends of the earth. And all the Canadians would know about the dominion of Canada, that is his dominion. Would be from sea to shining sea. We rejoice because the king has come. And Jesus enters Jerusalem. And the people give a triumphant shout. And finally, we see Jesus acknowledging that he is the Messiah by this act of riding into Jerusalem. And the people shout the traditional greeting of the king. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Quoting another Old Testament verse in Psalm 118, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And this cry of deliverance, Hosanna, which means save us, save now, deliver us. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when Zechariah cries out, behold your king, the people are saying, yes, he is our king. The people agree, the one who is unstoppable. He has just raised Lazarus from the dead. How can you defeat someone who can raise the dead? Even Caesar, even Rome itself, can't defeat that kind of power. Behold, your king is coming. He is coming to you. The anticipation, the excitement, the expectation is palpable, it's tangible. They are postured, they are waiting, they are looking for. They would say to John the Baptist, who are you? And he would say, I'm not the guy, I'm not the Messiah. There is an expectation, a longing for all of Israel. Zechariah will say he is righteous, he is just. Not only is he righteous, not only is he just, he will make things right. There is so much wrong, and he will make things right. His arrival, he is the righteous king who will make things right. He's coming to you, O daughter of Jerusalem, O daughter of Zion. Daughter, your king is coming right now, right now, right here. Behold what's going to happen. Behold this moment. It says that he will cut off the battle chariot, and he will remove the war horses, and the weapons of war will be destroyed. He's going to remove the chariots, he's going to remove the horses, he's going to break the weapons of destruction. He is not just coming to start something, he's coming to end something. He's not just coming to bring deliverance, but he's going to end oppression. He's not just coming to deliver us, he's coming to destroy them. That's the expectation. It says that he will speak peace and his dominion is going to reach to the ends of the earth. He is going to establish his reign and his reach is going to be unstoppable. It's going to fill the whole earth. There is nowhere that his reach of his kingdom will not extend to. And with humility, it says he's bringing salvation. Now here's the twist from the New Testament back to the Old Testament. That word salvation. New Testament, when you hear salvation, you think about Jesus being our Savior. That word sozo, it means wholeness, it means salvation. This picture of wholeness and completeness and healing, it's all wrapped up in the New Testament when we hear the word Savior or salvation. That's what it has to do with. Not in the Hebrew, not back when Zechariah says it. It means rescue and deliverance. It means to avenge. It means to defend, and it has to do with victory, to be saved in the midst of battle. It's this militant term, and they're saying, this is the King. He has come to rescue us and to save us and to deliver us. And oh, how the people would have known what King David did when he announced his son Solomon was going to be king. King David, as he was taking his final lap on planet Earth, getting very close to going home, Adonijah tried to assume the throne. David is told, he says, that's not going to happen. He's not the one. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 33, this is what King David does. Establishing the rightful king, establishing the lineage of David. 1 Kings 1:33, it says, and the king, David, said to them, take with you the servants of the Lord. You have my son Solomon, and watch what he does. My son Solomon, ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. It goes on to say, so Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and then it says these other two groups who were essentially the king's bodyguards. The best we can understand, here's the enforcement. Here's the strength of the king's bodyguards. Listen, take the priest, the prophet, and the boys, and go take my son and make this happen. It says, went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him into Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet and all the people said, long live the King Solomon! Long live King Solomon! And all the people went up after him and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy. And so the earth shook with the noise of the celebration. This is the king riding in on the donkey. And the people are coming unglued. This is the day and the celebration. Such a marvelous day. And then we see Jesus riding into the city. He's here. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that is exactly what this scripture in Psalms is referring to. This is the day that the Lord has made. This Palm Sunday, this moment, the king riding on a donkey into the city. This is the day that the Lord has made. I am going to rejoice. It means to jump about and celebrate. I will rejoice and be glad in it. But quickly, that rejoicing turns into rejecting as we face this next Easter week. As his arrival was upsetting, he upset not only some tables, he upset some religious leaders. Rejoicing that the king had arrived soon became rejecting the one who was the chief cornerstone. Soon we have them, instead of crying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they're crying, we have no king but Caesar. Blessed is he who comes, turns into away with him. It's a very strange verse that says he shall speak peace to the nations, because in this moment it doesn't look very peaceful. Tables being thrown over, chairs being tipped over, people being chased out of the temple. But loved one, please do not mistake. Jesus is not a peacekeeper, he is a peacemaker. He didn't come to just keep the peace and make sure everything's okay. He came to make peace. He came to bring peace, making peace possible between us and our Father and us and one another. There's only one way that that can happen, and that's through Jesus. And that upsets a lot of people. It upset a lot of things and a lot of people then, and it upsets a lot of people today when we talk about Jesus being the only way to have peace with God. He didn't come to leave us as we were, leave us as we are. He came to rescue us and redeem us and restore us into his image, the image that we were created in, the image of God. And in a world of sorrows, today, fast forwarding from that place to now, we have reason to rejoice. Behold, loved ones, your king is coming. Jesus is coming back for another triumphal entry. He is righteous and just. and he will make things right, and he won't be riding on a donkey in humility. He will return in glory. The book of Revelation tells us this. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of his kingdom and dominion and reign there will be no end. And he will make all things right. Revelation goes on to tell us, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And this Palm Sunday, I would echo the words that Zechariah said that were remembered on that Palm Sunday. Behold, rejoice greatly, for behold, your King is coming. Palm Sunday was fulfillment of that scripture. It was a day when the scripture was fulfilled, but there will be a day when another scripture is fulfilled. Listen to what the book of Acts says. Now when Jesus had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing to heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus is coming back. And the disciples went from that moment, they went into a room, and with one heart they began to pray. Jesus is coming back, as the scriptures promises. But until he does, may we pray. And may we be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and make disciples as we eagerly await his return, as we eagerly await his triumphal entry. Ben, I'm going to invite you to come. Well, actually, the whole team is going to come, and we're going to close with a song, and then we'll transition into our time of prayer. But listen to this, which so depicts where we are, even as we look forward to his soon appearing. Scripture tells us this, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they did not know the flood until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be left in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and the other left. Now watch what it says. It says, watch, therefore. You've been told what's going to happen. Watch, therefore. For you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. But know this. And he uses this example. If the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? And he closes with this. Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Blessed is the one when Jesus returns, he will just simply find us doing what we've been called to do. There's a day that we're looking forward to, his return, a triumphal entry of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's not coming with humility. He's coming with glory. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, to the glory of the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. May we be found waiting. May we be found watching. And may we be found doing what the Master has called us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that He has commanded us. And in so doing, He said, and I will be with you even to the end of the age. So Jesus, we're so very grateful this Palm Sunday that You came, that You rode into Jerusalem, that You upset things and are still upsetting things today. Jesus, we're thankful that You have come into our lives as we acknowledge You as King, and You've upset things in our lives to set things right. Our hearts and our lives, our priorities, our values, what's important, what matters. God, You've rearranged and recalibrated and reshaped and adjusted. You've taken the clay and You've molded us. We're so very grateful that You have ridden into our lives as we acknowledge You as King. We look forward to the day of Your return, but God, there's so many who don't yet know You. Even as John said this morning about three people came to know You, but oh, that all would come to know You. Would to God that these would be saved, oh God. Our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, the people we work with, oh God. Oh, that there would be a great revival in this last day as we prepare for Your triumphal entry when You will make all things right. God, we know You're only waiting because you're not slack concerning Your promise, but You're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and eternal life in Christ Jesus. So God, our hearts long for Your return, but our hearts also long for those who don't yet know You. In it all, God, help us to be about what You've called us to be, about making disciples, and that You would be glorified in our lives and everything we say and do. Jesus, we love You. Jesus, we worship You. And like those who even cried out, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. God, we worship You today. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.